was a protein bar.
Delicious.
What kind of protein bar?
Horse.
Oh, you're a builder now. Okay.
Plant-based, baby.
Very nice.
I'm Bob.
Everybody's going plant-based nowadays.
Are you, Josh?
Yeah.
You going vegan?
No. That's never going to happen. I tried it a couple weeks. Couldn't do it.
Really?
That's yeah, surprising. I watched a Netflix documentary about like the bodybuilders going vegan, all the athletes going vegan. I'm like, maybe I should try this.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like when I started to eat healthy too, after I saw that.
When was this? A little while ago?
Probably before last summer.
Right. Like a year ago.
Yeah.
Honestly, the best thing that came out of that documentary for most people is they just try to eat a bit more balanced. Like that's,
yeah,
that's like
basically what I did.
Yeah.
Stop eating so much sugar.
Like, yeah, and like probably a bit more veggies and like maybe not eat meat like 7 times a week, like maybe like 4 or 5. And if you do eat meat, you're not going to eat like 10 chicken breasts or like 2 steaks or whatever. You eat like a normal portion.
Yep. And that's when I found Jeff from Athlenex as well.
On to the next.
Yep. That guy's a freak though, man. That dude like eats strawberries as a cheat meal. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the Iceman himself, straight from Casinorama, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
All right. Spring is here. Sunshine. It's beautiful outside. Can't complain.
And the first place you go is Casinorama.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's what we do when lockdown is over.
Mask on.
There you go. Smart man. The banger in the pain, eating these protein bars to build himself up even more. Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
You know what? If I actually had an inside game, I'd probably dominate in the NBA now because no one wants to play inside, but I'm far from that.
Wow, that's harsh. You don't think Joel Embiid wants to play inside? Oh, I mean, I guess Joel's not playing for the next couple of weeks, right?
Exactly. Like, you see play inside, you're going to be dominating the league like Shaq was.
Yep, at my 165-pound frame of 6 feet tall. Let's get it. Well, I already alluded to it, guys. Let's get this started. Joel Embiid is out 2 to 3 weeks with a hyperextended knee. It happened on Saturday night, I think. And the Sixers kept winning. They won 2 straight after that. They're obviously in the first seed in the East right now. And, I mean, the only team that's really relatively close to them is the Brooklyn Nets, right? So, Josh, does this really affect Philadelphia standings as number one? Does it really matter going into the playoffs? Because, I mean, you're the one who keeps on talking about how the Celtics need Kemba healthy going into the playoffs. Does it really matter for the 76ers to go into the playoffs in the first seed?
I sort of see the situation like I did with Golden State about 4 or 5 years ago when they were going for the record of 73 wins. I just hope that Joel Embiid doesn't try to come back early and try to, you know, get the MVP award over valuing winning in the playoffs. And if he does try to do that, hopefully the training staff holds him back.
I guess they have Tobias Harris to rely on instead, right? Or your boy Seth Curry.
He was a beast yesterday. Curry as well. I think he had a couple 4-point plays in yesterday's game when I was watching. So both those guys are playing well. Simmons is doing his thing. And Tony Bradley's had a couple of good games too, yeah. Surprisingly.
Joel Embiid's favorite player, Tony Bradley, tweeted out his his support of the guy, even though he averages like 18 minutes a game. That's cool. I like it. It's better than Dwight having to start the game for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, with Philadelphia, they have the 10th easiest strength of schedule left. And they have 3 games against Milwaukee, though, which might determine potentially who might get one of the top 1 to 3 seeds. I think ultimately Brooklyn's probably going to get the first seed, especially when KD ultimately comes back. He's probably going to be back before Embiid, based on the reporting, but maybe they just keep holding him out if they keep winning 10 out of 11 games.
But both teams, honestly, if as long as they're one of the top 3 seeds, I don't think they're going to be too concerned. It's more important to be healthy. And this injury, obviously, there's never a good time to get injured. But this kind of works out in the 76ers' favor in the sense that even when Embiid does come back, they're probably not going to force him to play back-to-backs. There's going to be no expectation. They're going to be able to rest him. And that's been kind of a knock on Embiid in the last couple of seasons, that when it comes to playoff time, he's a bit banged up, he's injured, he's not playing his best basketball then. And he should be back with at least 20 games left. They'll be able to play him here and there. And Josh, as you alluded to, I don't think the 76ers management is going to let Embiid play in back-to-backs or make him put it in a position where he's going to win the MVP. So I think the 76ers are coasting right now. As long as they keep winning and stay in those top three seeds, they're good.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, on top of this injury, Embiid and Simmons also had to sit out the All-Star game too, right? So this went from, you know, these guys, or at least Embiid taking a week off during the All-Star break to taking like pretty much a month off, right? Like he came back for what, a game or two at most? Two games before they had to sit him again? So, I mean, yeah, this guy's getting a lot of time off, and he'll basically be as fresh as you could be for the playoffs, or at least down the stretch of the season, because, you know, we're looking at mid-May is the end of the regular season. So if we look at it from now, he's going to be out until the first week of April, plays about a month and a half. Josh already said they've got one of the easiest schedules going forward. So he can basically like treat it like a preseason, right? Or like training camp where you can ease yourself back into it. Let Dwight Howard play like 20 minutes a game instead of having to play 35 minutes a game on Embiid. And sort of just chill. It's pretty ideal considering the situation. And yeah, I mean, 1, 2, 3, they're still going to end up playing. I mean, yeah, if they get like the first or second seed, they're still going to end up playing, you know, whoever wins the play-in tournament. So screw it. Why not just relax at this point? Why worry about the Nets?
Yeah, like you alluded to everything. I think, honestly, the 76ers, they just need to be healthy going into the playoffs. They're not afraid of any team. And ultimately, getting those other players' reps and minutes is probably good for their team because they were very reliant on Embiid. He was obviously an MVP candidate. So getting the other players have some shots up, getting their confidence going is going to be huge.
They also still need to trade for Kyle Lowry or else they're not going to get out of the second round.
Okay, we can't keep going back here. Kyle Lowry's not going to move. Like it's probably been said a few times by a few different media outlets that it's hard for him to move. He's not pushing for a move. Obviously, Toronto's probably trying to keep the value high and trying to get something very good in return. But right now, Josh, your Casino Rama money, I wouldn't put it on Lowry moving.
Now, Masai's planting those seeds. He's talking to all of his sources and these different publications, and he's telling them, oh, yeah, Kyle Lowry's untouchable. He's not going to move. So that way, Daryl Morey calls him at, 1 p.m. on trade deadline day, and he offers everything. He backs up the Brinks truck. He gives him Tyrese Maxey. He gives him two or three first-round picks, whatever else Masai wants.
I mean, that wouldn't be bad at all. I'd take all of that for Kyle Lowry at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get two first-round picks, like future first-round picks, and a young player for him, then why not at this point? They've lost six in a row because of, you know, the COVID, obviously, with their top players getting the virus in the last couple weeks, and they're missing a ton of games, and the Raptors have a pretty tough schedule going forward as well, so I think it might be trending in that direction right now.
Maybe throw in Matisse Thybulle into the trade, get my top shot value up, you know?
Sure, trade them all. Trade those two guys. Give us some first-round picks. Give us Drummond, too. Give us, like, a half-year of Drummond. Why not?
Where the hell did that come from?
Well, you got to match the salary, right?
That means they got to take on Drummond first?
Yeah, I mean, Lowry makes $30 million a year, and those two young guys make, what, like, $5 million max together?
Yeah, but you're saying... So you want Philadelphia to get Andre Drummond first, and then...
No. Three-way trade. Cleveland will get involved. Is it Cleveland?
Okay,
yeah, Cleveland. I keep forgetting which team he's on. I do that every time.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And that'll help us tank, too.
That's true. Andre Drummond does like to tank. Did the Raptors come out and say who actually got COVID?
No, Van Vliet had it. Said that he had it.
Wow, this guy. Get it together, Freddie. How do you think he'll come back? Is he coming back tonight? Tonight's Wednesday?
I think that they're all questionable for tonight, but... He was so desperate just to, like, talk to people. Yeah, like, when he was on the media feed, he basically said, like, I'll do whatever interviews guys want right now because I missed you guys so much.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Yeah, apparently the story from Josh Lewenberg said that he was so happy to be back. He was smiling and he was giving everyone hugs, you know, like the proper protocol you're supposed to do when you tested positive with COVID.
No.
Yeah. Oh, but dear. I think OG is the only player that's doubtful for tonight, but he should be back by Friday. And it's hard to assess where the Raptors are. But again, I'm going to buy into these publications. I don't think Lowry's going to go anywhere because I think his salary is just hard to match. And again, he'd be on a one-year rental most likely.
Very expensive guy. All right, let's move on to another. I want to talk about three teams in the East, guys. The Triple H's, as I've called them. The Triple H.
Time to play the game.
Time to play the game.
Yo, Josh, I know you did this as a kid, but you know that thing when Triple H enters the ring and then he like spits his water everywhere? Yep. Oh, man. Were you ever good at it?
Oh, I was amazing at it. I mastered that. A lot of practice.
Okay, let's do it in the summer. Very far away from each other, because that's as disgusting as we can get.
But doing it, like, the way he did it at the end, where he did it once when he was walking just out of the locker room onto the stage, and then he did it as he was going to the ring, and then he turned around to the crowd as he got onto the ring, and then do it again. That's tough to do.
Yeah. Oh, three of them in one?
Yeah, that's really tough to do.
Imagine.
Because what if you like get your second spray out and you have nothing left? You can't just go back to your water bottle. The water bottle is empty.
Exactly. Oh, he didn't carry a water bottle with him on the way out?
No, he usually did, but only one, right? Oh, okay. So if he already chugged it and put it in his mouth, then he's going to need whoever Steve Austin's guy was, and instead of throwing him a beer, he needs to throw him a water bottle.
it's a Nestle Pure Life bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought you meant that he would just like fill up his mouth before he left the locker room.
Just...
And then, like, on the way out, one. On the way out, like more than halfway empty, like an empty mouth. And then once he got to the ring, that was the rest of it.
From what I remember, he used to drink, or not drink it, but he used to like down most of it in his mouth. And then he would dust the rest of it on his head.
Make his hair
super slick. And then when he got to the ring, he did the hatchback or whatever.
hatchback.
The hairback. I don't know what it's called.
Where he would just whip his head back?
Yeah. He whipped his hair back and forth.
Man, that's a cool dude. I told you that we share the same birthday, right?
I see the flare, Peter. I see the flare. It's the long hair.
It's my long hair that's covered up right now. That's exactly it. Anyways, the Triple H of the Eastern Conference. The Miami Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Charlotte Hornets are all on crazy, crazy hot streak, guys. I mean, the Heat, ever since they've got Jimmy Butler back, they've won 5 straight, won 9 out of the last 10. No Butler or Bam in the All-Star break. So obviously these guys are hopefully well-rested. They've got COVID protocols past them already because it looked like half the team started the year with COVID. And, you know, all the issues that we identified earlier in the year, you know, there's no depth. These guys are playing Gabe Vincent and KZ Apala all the time. Like, Tyler Hero is going to be running the ball too much. No. No, 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 no. They're back. They're back. They're chill. They're calm. Jimmy Butler is putting up LeBron-like numbers. I said that before, and I really stand by it now. LeBron, legitimate LeBron-like numbers. And the Heat are making that push. They could easily make the 4th seed in the East at this point, to be honest. Because right now they're sitting in 4. Charlotte's sitting at 5, a game back of them. So, I mean, there's really nothing slowing down the Heat at this point, right, Raj? Like, all they really need is Jay Crowder, and they're going back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I think the Heat are obviously playing their best basketball of the season. Jimmy Butler is really bringing that team together. If you just look at their team, they're pretty much built for playoff basketball. I think they would benefit from actually adding another body, and Jay Crowder wouldn't be a bad suggestion, but he's doing his own thing.
Well, they're rumored to be in the market for Trevor Ariza.
So, exactly.
Hey, I like that. That'd be dope.
Except he hasn't played all year.
That's okay. They can work him back into shape, man. Heat culture.
He better show up with 5% body fat.
I think Miami's honestly the least of the surprise team. Obviously, you mentioned Triple H. Something's going down the southeastern coast of the U.S. because all these teams are playing great basketball. And I think the team that surprised me the most is the Hornets. Just because... we were expecting them to make some leaps, maybe push for that play-in seed. But they're playing good basketball. They've been in a lot of close games this year, and now they're managing to pull it out. And LaMelo, since he's been inserted in the starting lineup, he's been playing amazing basketball. I think at this point, his ceiling is much higher than Lonzo's just from the rookie seasons, if you're comparing those. And the Hornets are the team that I want to talk about, and obviously we'll get to the Hawks.
So the Hornets have won four straight, seven of the last 10. Obviously, we saw the Terry Rozier game winner. I mean, they're hot, Josh. They're just hot.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well right now, and they're very fun to watch, obviously. And they play at a really fast style, and they pass the ball really well. I think they're like top three in passing overall, which a lot of these top teams can learn from them, like Boston and the Clippers. but yeah, I mean, it'll be good for them to actually make the playoffs and, you know, hopefully make the playoffs and, you know, be able to get some experience for their guys. Cause you know, a lot of people saw them, you know, much like myself, I thought they'd be like a treadmill team based on the talent that they had, and they might still be, cause they're going to have to make some improvements in the off season, especially with, their big man position, having Cody Zeller still starting for them. But, you know, P.J. Washington has showed that he can play center for them for 15 to 20 minutes a game, which makes him extremely fast and super versatile. He's really made a jump this year. And Gordon Hayward's obviously been really good, but obviously they have to figure out what they're going to do with Devontae Graham. You know, with him not starting anymore, he might be a trade piece. Like, nobody's really talked about him as a trade piece at the trade deadline. But, you know, with Malik Monk playing so well, maybe you want to cash in on getting some value for Devontae before things maybe turn sour with him as a bench guy. Or, you know, maybe he just doesn't play as well in that role.
Yeah, like just quickly looking at the Hornets' last couple of games, maybe we're jumping on the hype a bit too much. But they've had some good wins against some quality teams, but they've also beat some, I guess, bottom feeders like the Kings, the Timberwolves, the Pistons, and
you can add the Raptors. It's okay.
Yeah, you can add the Raptors now. I just didn't want to offend Josh too much on the pod, but
hey, I'm Team Tank.
I think overall by the end of March we'll be able to see if this team is actually a playoff team or if they're not. I know we had a recent pod that we're gonna release soon. Talking to the social media manager for the Hornets, and he's quite excited, and there's a lot to be excited about the Hornets, and for them just to have winning culture, that's a win for them this season, I think. Making the playoffs is a bonus. So the Hornets, I predict by March 31st we'll know if they make the playoffs or not.
I mean, I think regardless they'll be in the 9-10 seed in the play-in game. So they'll be in a position to make the playoffs regardless. I don't think they're going to drop outside the top 10 at this point. But the team that interests me the most is the Hawks because, you know, they have the situation now where they've won, you said four in a row, right? Three or four in a row.
Six in a row. Hawks have...
How many?
Yeah.
Six.
Six. They haven't lost under Nate McMillan.
Man, good for them.
They've won six in a row, seven out of their last 10. And Trae Young is apparently the defensive player of the year.
But yeah, I mean, the trade deadline's coming up, and they really have to make a decision now on John Collins. Like, he's the one guy where you really have to look at your franchise and how you want to build going forward and say, do you want to pay John Collins $100 million-plus for the next 4 years? And if not, you should trade him. But at the same time, they put this mandate out that they have to make the playoffs this year. So one thing is contradicting the other.
I mean, where could you even... I mean, there have been a lot of rumors of sending Collins to, like, the Celtics. The Raptors have been in there too.
I don't see that. Who did they trade for him? And plus, Siakam plays his position.
I didn't say that it's a good idea. I'm just saying that the reports are out there, Josh. Miami, like every other team in the, or every other player in the league is rumored to go to.
Of course.
Same with the Lakers, like every other player in the league is rumored to go to. Who needs that kind of player? Like a power forward that can rim run, that's a decent defender. I mean, he might be an above average defender, to be honest.
He's a good shooter, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's actually excelled as a shooter over the last couple of years. He's really improved a lot. I mean, he's pretty versatile. I wouldn't say he's the most consistent player, nor do I want him to be the most consistent player, but if he can be like your third, fourth option, that's not a bad, it's not a bad fit for the guy, right? I just can't figure out where we would actually like where he would slot in well, other than, you know, my Denver Nuggets.
I think
I would love him over Paul Millsap.
I think Boston could be interested as well. They wanted more scoring, and you mentioned the third or fourth guy. Again, what does Boston give up for him? That's the big question. I don't think they have much that would interest the Atlanta Hawks. But again, I think John Collins will get paid by... he will get a good contract. It's just a matter of finding an area where he will be happy with the amount of touches he'll get. He'll be a productive player. Because right now, I would say that position is almost oversaturated in the NBA. It's a very valuable position, but there's a lot of players that play that role, kind of the stretch four. Our old namesake pod, but there's a lot of players that play that now, and I think I won't be surprised if Atlanta just having him on the roster for the rest of the year.
I think it would be a disaster though if they just kept him, and then the offseason he demands 100 to 120 million or whatever his cap is, and then they end up not signing him as a restricted free agent, because they can still match any offer for him since he's in his first contract. But you know, if a team poison pills him and, you know, gives him a backloaded contract where he's making $30 million or $35 million his last year of the contract, do you really want to give that much money to a secondary guy like that? I don't know. Because you have DeAndre Hunter who can play both positions at the three and the four too, so maybe you try to make him, you know, one of the secondary guys since he played really well this year and he's only in his second year.
Hunter is not the one that's always injured, right? That's Reddish?
They're both injured a lot, but Hunter's been out for most of the season after a really hot start.
Yeah, and Hunter's had the more long-term injury compared to Reddish, who's had a few games where he seems to be back, but then gets re-injured. Another team that we've talked about at length is the Nuggets. They have a need at that four position, and they have some pieces that could interest Atlanta, but again, does John Collins make the Nuggets a contender with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns? I'm not sure.
I think he might. He's a really solid player. You put him in there. I think he still have to make another trade in order to get a solid two guard that can shoot. I mean, I like Gary Harris and everything, but he has fallen off a cliff offensively. Like, if he could turn back into like 3 years ago, Gary Harris, man. And then you get John Collins, then you got a real lineup.
Yeah. Instead, we have can't even touch the floor anymore, Gary Harris. Would you rather have current Gary Harris or Tony Snell?
You mean 50, 50, 100 Tony Snell? Yeah, that guy.
Oh, man. Tony Snell, the guy who took one shot in a half and it happened to be a game winner against the Raptors. That Tony Snell, yes.
He's the new Robert Ori.
Apparently, he's the new Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah.
How about that?
Raptor killer.
Raptor killer like everyone else is in the league, apparently.
So, on that note, Tony Snell has made 38 of his last 38 free throws dating back to 2018-2019. He's shooting 50, 57, 100 this year.
Wait, hold on. Can you repeat that first part? How many free throws?
38 for 38 the last 3 years. No, he doesn't shoot that many.
The guy attempts 10 free throws a year? Jesus Christ, Damian Lillard averages that in like a half. Come on. Wow, okay, well, I guess my answer is Tony Snell then right now ahead of Gary Harris.
He's done well.
If he can play D and hit open threes, he might be the perfect player for Jokic.
Maybe he's the reason why the Hawks have won the last six.
Yeah, who needs Bogdan Bogdanovic, man?
Yeah, not me. Not the Bucks either. Yeah.
Or the Kings.
Well, the Kings are going to lose regardless, so yeah.
Oh, the Kings might be the team that offers John Collins that big-ass contract in the summer.
And gives up Bagley for him. Yeah, it would make
sense. Yeah, they don't like Bagley. They've already shown that they don't like Bagley. Why not move on? Collins would be nice with Fox, man. Both guys that can run.
They'd be fun as an 11 seed.
Yeah. At least we can listen to Mark Jones and Doug Christie, though.
That's true.
Low-key, one of the best broadcast teams in the league, along with the two New York teams.
I don't know if they're quite up there yet. The New York teams are just on a whole nother level.
Mm. Yeah. Yo, Mark Jones is literally a national broadcaster, man.
Iron Eagle's way better.
Yeah, you're right. But like after the two New York teams, though. Yeah. I'm putting Sacramento in there along with like Minnesota.
Don't forget your boy Matt Devlin.
Nope. Straight from Markham or
Markham?
Yeah, yeah. Whenever anyone hits a three, Matt Devlin just says, "Ah, oh, deep from London, Ontario." It's
like, or happy. Or he says Punjabi.
That's only on certain nights.
Yeah,
the only when Paige is playing.
Whatever happened to Chuck Schwartzky? Because I was listening to the Chicago broadcast and he wasn't there.
He's the radio broadcaster for Chicago.
Yeah,
I see.
I don't think he ever did TV for them. It was always radio.
I think he's going to move into that role once the play-by-play guy in Chicago finally retires, which might be soon. He's pretty old, so. Imagine Chuck Swirsky with Stacey King. Oh, my God. That's going to be an energy, like, outburst. Energy explosion. Give me the hot sauce! Pull out the salami and cheese!
All the food references you could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
All together in Chicago. My goodness. Oh, man. All right, well, you guys want to talk about the Heat anymore, or are we good, Josh? No love for my
the
guys?
The Heat just don't interest me at all, honestly.
Really?
No.
Yeah, you're not about that Heat culture, eh?
They're such a boring team to watch, too. Honestly. I'm just not into it. I don't know.
What the hell?
They, like, what are you watching for? To watch Jimmy Butler get to the free throw? Like, Bam is fun. But the rest of their guys, it's just... Eh.
You don't like watching Goran Dragic run a pick and roll like 8 times in one possession? Only to draw a foul?
I think I've seen enough of that with like JJ Barea back in the day. Barea was like the king of that. He'd run like 15 pick and rolls on one possession just to like get a mid-range shot.
Yeah, that's Goran Dragic now, except it's a 3.
Here's an idea. Tyler Hero for John Collins. Who says no?
Miami.
Actually.
Really? Do they?
Yeah.
They need a power forward.
Yo, they have Myers Leonard.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get it out there. Elephant in the room, you know, we got to address it that sooner or later. But that's it. That's all I want to talk about. Myers Leonard is an idiot.
But going back to the Tyler Hero, John Collins, I think the benefit of them keeping Tyler Hero is right now it doesn't look like John Collins is going to be traded. So they could offer him something in the offseason if they're that desperate. Like, why would they give up a prime asset?
That's true. I mean, so what, like, with that logic, are we only expecting teams with expiring contracts to be trading for Collins or rookies or like younger players that they don't really care about or don't
like,
do them that much?
I don't think John Collins is going to get traded for a established starter that like has a big future for a team. Like, I don't think he's going to get that kind of value, especially because Atlanta, I believe, tried to re-sign him in the offseason. And he wanted to get paid more. So clearly there's a disagreement about his value and his worth. And he's put Atlanta in a tough position. So if I'm a young team and you have a player, obviously like Tyler Hero, who's the future of your franchise, I'm not going to put him for sale for John Collins.
It's a good point. I think the teams that are at the cap or over the cap right now are the teams going to be looking to trade for John Collins because you can't sign him in the offseason because you have no cap space. Whereas if you trade for him now, you have his bird rights, and then you can sign him and just go over the luxury tax and just pay a massive tax bill like Boston, for example. But again, like, what does Boston have to offer? I mean, they'd have to give up like 4 first-round picks probably. And
Peyton Pritchard!
Sure.
He'll fit in perfectly in Atlanta. There are a lot of white people there, aren't there?
No, I think it's the opposite.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see it either. I guess we can move on. Can we talk about, Raj, the best teams in Houston right now? The best teams in Texas, sorry. Not the Houston Rockets, who have lost, like, I don't know. It seems like 20 straight at this point.
17.
Christian Wood might be coming back soon. Is it really 17?
Yeah, someone's been counting because somebody Jesus put the Christ. Raj curse on them. I'm calling it the Raj curse from now on.
Ooh, my God. They might be as bad as the Timberwolves.
No. Here's the stat, though. Houston's lost 17 straight, and they're like 3 games up on the Timberwolves.
Not for long, apparently. Unless Christian Wood is coming back like Jesus tonight.
He is.
Yeah.
Like Jesus?
He's coming back like Jesus tonight.
He's growing out that hair?
He might be.
anyways, I want to talk about San Antonio and Dallas. Dallas obviously is on this crazy hot streak ever since Porzingis came back. They're actually playing real defense, which has been actually lacking, and their offense seems to be flowing. And speaking of flowing offense, the San Antonio Spurs have told LaMarcus Aldridge to take a seat. You're not coming back here. You're out of here. We're done. They don't want him back. You know, the two parties have mutually agreed to not have LaMarcus Aldridge return. They're doing this whole thing with the young guys and only the young guys.
The Spurs are going down the drain in the next 32 games or whatever it is. They've had the most home games out of anybody. I think they played at least four more home games than they have away games, and they have, I think, the toughest schedule in the league going forward. Yeah, they do. They have the toughest schedule in the league. They have 36 games left. They have at least two games against the Jazz. They have three games against the Suns. So it's going to be a tough road for them the next 36 games. And I think ultimately they're not going to be in the play-in game either. I think they're going to be like probably the 12th seed, 11th or 12th seed.
Yeah, like, I honestly still think the Spurs are probably going to be the better team. I just, again, I don't know why the Mavs are getting a lot of my hate, but I just don't see it with them. Like, obviously, I love Luka. I love the idea of pairing him with Kristaps, and I like the way they surrounded him with the right pieces. I don't know what about that team. It's just hard for me to accept that they're a more talented team than another team, let's say.
Than the Spurs?
They're definitely more talented than the Spurs right now.
They're more talented, but the Spurs are more athletic. That's what I was getting at.
And the Spurs have better coaching, too, slightly.
I don't know, man. Rick Carlisle is a pretty good coach.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give that.
Popovich getting him to this point is pretty impressive.
Yeah, Pop seems to be reinvigorated with these young guys. Like, it's sort of the opposite of what their whole system has been, right? Like, it used to be such a slow-paced game, and then it turned into pure, you know, ball movement with, like, the pretty 14-15 Spurs, where it was just, like, swinging the ball around, that Ginobili-Kawhi team. Obviously, Duncan was still there, whatever. And now it's just, like, run, 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 run. Like, you get the ball, you're fucking darting it up the court no matter what. And, you know, he's really using young athleticism to his advantage, right? Like, one of the funnest players to watch on this team is DeJounte Murray. And we've seen what that guy can do on defense. And as soon as he gets on that break, whew, that boy is fast. My goodness, he is fast.
Yeah, and with Derek White coming back and Keldon Johnson, who's been a really young, promising player. And the key thing is they moved away from LaMarcus. Like, they knew that having him on the bench or having him on the roster was not going to help them move forward in the way that they want to play in this new faster pace. And I think telling him outright and telling the rest of the media that, you know what, he's not going to be on our roster, we're going to look to move him, that's the right move. Like, that is the right move for the Spurs. They're not going to go to the championship this year, but hey, if they make the playoffs, that's a win for them. And I still think that they will end up higher than the Dallas Mavericks.
They also have all-star snub DeMar DeRozan, you know, point forward DeMar DeRozan.
Another trade candidate nobody's talking about.
Yeah, DeMar actually might get moved.
It's hard to find a team for him, though, because, you know, most established teams already have their one and two guys, and he basically has to be a one or two guy in order for him to really succeed on the court. And maybe they just keep him, because he's been really good for them, obviously. And he's still relatively young. What is he, like 29 or something like that?
DeMar's got to be older than 29. I
think he's like 31.
Is he?
Let's see. DeMar DeRozan age. He's 31. He's my age. Oh, look at that. He's 32 this year.
Still in his prime. I'm not going to try to hate on DeMar this podcast because he has played well this year. But, you know, going back to Dallas for a second, I just find it so funny how the narrative has totally changed around Porzingis, where, you know, a couple months ago, everyone's talking about him as a guy that Dallas can't move because he has negative value and he's totally toxic. When the exact same thing happened last year, where he took a while to come back from injury, and then when he was finally back to near 100%, he looks like he does right now. He's a lot more active on defense. He's knocking down like every shot available to him. He's playing extremely good basketball, and he fits perfectly with Doncic. Like, nobody really talks about that, but he's like the perfect big man for Doncic. Because he can, you know, play inside, yeah, hit his little turnaround shots, or he can play on the outside and take 30-footers as a trailer on the break. And, you know, as a shot blocker, he's really stepped up the last 10 games or so. And overall, just on pick and roll defense, he's looked way more active. He looks sort of like Jokic has looked the entire year, where he's just like involved. He's engaged, you know? He's actually moving around the court very well. Jokic has played good defense this year.
Oh, he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Porzingis, but yeah.
The last 10 games he has. And I think that's only a stepping stone. Hopefully he can, you know, actually be healthy come playoff time this year. And I hope they get the Clippers again come first round, because that would be absolutely outstanding. Because I think the Mavericks have a real chance to upset them if that does happen.
Porzingis is going to have to average 28 and 13.
30 and 15, according to Shaq.
Oh, my bad. I just need 4 rebounds a quarter. It's not that hard, okay?
Yeah. 8 points a quarter. You get 4 of those on the break every quarter. Get a couple 3-pointers in there. You're up to 30 right away.
I mean, he's not wrong. For once, Shaq's math is actually accurate.
His math checks out.
It was achievable.
Shaq's an analytics guy.
Obviously. Didn't you know? Didn't you watch the doc?
Not yet.
Did you guys watch it? Oh, man. You guys should watch it.
I haven't finished.
It is it is great. You have not finished?
No, I have not.
Make sure you do. So, Josh, you think Dallas gets out of the play-in tournament? Do they steal that 6th seed?
I don't know. I mean, they're playing really well right now. Obviously, they just lost to the Clippers. But overall, they've played extremely well. Portland seems to be trending in the right direction, even with all the injuries that they've had. So it's hard to count them out. So I'm going to say they're going to be the 7th seed.
There you go. And Raj, we know that you're not very high on them.
Yeah, I think they'll still end up in the playoffs in terms of 1-8. I think the Spurs will finish one seat ahead of them.
Okay, wow. And where do the Blazers end up? I'm throwing this out of nowhere here.
Yeah, I think the Blazers end up one game ahead of the Spurs. So it goes Blazers, Spurs, Mavs. Kind of like the current standings.
Yeah, yeah. We don't talk about the Spurs or the Blazers enough here, but Dame Lillard, man, if he can drag them to like a 4th seed, could be an MVP talk.
He should be.
That guy is having a hell of a year and not recognized whatsoever. You know, Dame always being overlooked, even as an all-star starter. But I digress. Let's move on. Josh, you got any stats corner?
Yeah, I got a couple things today. So, can you guys name the leading rebounder off the bench from the guard position? And this guy averages more rebounds than Zion Williamson, Miles Turner, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and Montrezl Harrell.
Off the bench?
Off the bench.
As a guard?
Yeah, as a guard.
Hmm. Oof. Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, that's you're pulling at hairs here.
Sorry, that's like averaging... I know Zion's averaging around 6 rebounds a game. I assume Durant is probably around 6.5, so let's like look for a guard that's averaging around 7 rebounds.
7.4.
7.4 rebounds off the bench.
Some good value.
In the West?
It has to be a guard that plays a lot.
In the West, averaging 28 minutes a game off the bench.
Damn.
And he's on a bad team numbers. That plays really bad defense. And you might have watched them last night.
What? Last night?
The Rockets. Last night?
Oh, is it Josh Hart?
It is Josh Hart, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That guy's an animal. Top shot hustler, but animal.
Yeah, he's always been a really good rebounder, even back to his rookie year. That's the one thing he's always done really well, and then this year he's shooting the hell out of the ball, too.
He's a gritty player, guys. The lunch pail to work kind of guy.
No, you save that for TJ McConnell, come on.
Yeah, well, unless you have any TJ McConnell stats here, I gotta throw it out.
I do not.
It's unfortunate. Who leads the league in inbound steals? TJ McConnell.
Yeah, yeah. I think, what, 3 steals and 3 possessions that game where he had 10 steals?
Yeah. How annoying would it be to play against that guy? Like, Raj, imagine you're inbounding the ball at the Y, and, like, this dude just won't leave you alone. My God.
That plus his consistent mid-range jump shot, I think he'd be, like, the most frustrating player to play against. He's just all over the court.
Yeah, like he'd be great for Carlton Ravens basketball, you know?
Yeah, he's like the one guy in the NBA where like you see that he has a lane to the basket for a layup, and then he takes his 2 steps and he shoots a 5-foot jump shot. It's crazy.
He's Indiana Hoosiers basketball, man.
Indeed.
Like legitimately Indiana Hoosiers basketball.
So last thing, going back to last night, obviously Damian Lillard had a massive game. He had 50 points and 10 assists, I believe. So can you name the six players that have more 50-point games than him in NBA history? Let's see how you guys do. We'll go one by one. So we'll start with Raj.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is number two, yes, at 31 games with 50 points.
How many did you say Dame has?
Dame has 12 overall.
I'm going to go Kobe.
Kobe is at number three with 25.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, number one should be so obvious to us.
Should we go with Kareem?
Kareem is not on the list.
Oh, wow.
No, but Wilt is, that's for sure.
Wilt at, guess how many he has?
Like 800? Like Wilt's got to at least be at around like 40 or 50 games.
He's much higher than that.
110?
118.
Oof. Oh my god. Well, Dame has a long way to go.
Just out of century.
Yeah, I would say so. Many years, yes.
All right, so we got the top three. And there's how many more?
Three more.
Ahead of him?
Just to give you a hint, there's one white guy in the list.
Oof. All right.
That one you're probably not going to get, but...
We'll yeah. See. What about Steph Curry?
Steph is not on the list.
One white guy, eh? Now this is all I'm gunning for. It's going to be like someone super random, like Mark Price or some shit.
A little bit older than that.
White guy. It's not Bird, is it?
No. Both these guys are from the 60s, 70s range.
This will be fun.
Yeah, I'm just going to blank.
One is a Laker, played with Jerry West.
And a white guy?
And there's a white guy who played for many teams, one of them being the Golden State Warriors. Everyone hates him in the media.
Oh, breaking news. Oklahoma City is finalizing a trade to send Trevor Ariza to the Miami Heat for our favorite racist player, Myers Leonard.
He got exiled.
And a 2027 second round
or
pick.
Or exile.
Oh my goodness. He's going to OKC. It's like the perfect place. The only place better would be Utah. Come on now.
Well, one would argue the only other place for him might be Boston.
True,
if you know what I'm saying.
Those are definitely the top three candidates. Oh, man, that's great. Peace out, Myers. No longer Heat culture.
Welcome, Ariza.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Trevor Ariza is going to be a great fit on that team.
If he plays.
Yo, he'll be good by the playoffs. Man. By your logic, that's all you need.
If you could take him and Iguodala and make one player that would be in their prime, that would be what the Heat need.
You would have young Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, basically.
Or young Trevor Ariza.
Like, combine half of the old of them makes one prime.
Yeah.
Okay, it's my turn. It's definitely not a white guy, but it has to be James Harden. He has to be on that list.
Yeah, James Harden is number four.
How many games has he had? Because he almost had like 10 or something last season.
23.
Okay.
So we're looking at a white guy and someone who played with Jerry West from the 60s, 70s era?
Yes. And the white guy had two sons. One of them was in the dunk contest. The other one's an announcer for ESPN.
ESPN announcer. Oh, two sons. What team did he play for?
The player or his sons?
No. Oh, Rick Barry.
There you
Rick
go.
Oh, my God.
He had 14.
Wow.
The other one used to be the Clippers GM as well during the Donald Sterling era. He filed a major lawsuit against Donald Sterling for being a racist prick.
Elgin Baylor.
There you go. Elgin Baylor, number he's at 17 overall.
Yeah, the Lord Elgin Baylor.
Lord Elgin.
Boom. Shouts to Ottawa and all of our hotels, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, not bad, Josh. Those are pretty good. I like that. Anyways, I guess that's all the time we have. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. Leave us those good comments. Rate those 5 stars. We're on all the major podcast platforms, including Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the majors. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at HoopsCornerPod. And until next time, peace.